Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, Tracy Mahan.
Woo! Hello, everyone.
So glad to be here with you, and we're continuing tonight, today, this morning, wherever you're from, on our QHHT Level 3 series. So excited to have one of our newer Level 3s. Yay! I mean, that just happened. That just happened this year.
That happened in Miami just before COVID. We slid under the wire.
Exactly. Wow. Fantastic. Yes, I was like, that was just this year, I think. Yeah, it was very soon. It was our last one.
We're still in this year.
I don't know what time. I know nothing anymore. So anyway, but wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for being here, Candace
Petticord. Yes, thank you.
Yay. And congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yep. It was frustrating because I had that beautiful week with you with level two and level three, and then I came home and I couldn't do anything because of COVID.
Yeah, it all got locked down.
I know, it was like a cement thing. It just went, boom.
I went from like 2 to 3 sessions a day to nothing, you know. It was so I'm back up and running though.
Wow.
Yeah, good, good. Now you're up in the Northeast, right?
I'm outside of Philadelphia.
Perfect. Okay. People will want to know that as we keep going along here. You know, and everybody, we kind of gave Candace a little bit of warning about, you know, Tracy's like, no, we didn't.
Is this another memo I missed?
No, that's the face we wanted right there. Anyway, I can't keep a straight face. We like to give people a little bit of a hard time. So, I mean, we've already been doing it with you before the show.
We'll start doing that now.
Yeah.
Go for it. This is the initiation.
So, yes, you guys, Candace is so amazing. She told us she positioned her camera just right so that she could play us a little tune on the piano to get started today. So go ahead and do that.
That's them trying to be hard on me and I'm not buying it. That's a whole nother thing we can do, a Zoom thing.
That could be another show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really
okay,
good.
I'm coming up for another show. Okay.
We could have a talent show of all the
level threes. Yeah. We can bring everybody back on with their special talents. Mm-hmm. If you want to.
What is yours, Tracy?
Well, I think you're seeing it. I don't hold back. It's right here. I have the gift. I have the gift to really help other people shine, like when you bring out that musical artist in you at the piano.
Actually,
she is doing her gift, Candace. Her gift is pushing you out of your comfort zone.
Oh my God.
Yes. That is her gift, and she's very good at it. Because I've been the recipient of that gift for many years.
So to catch the audience up, Candace has never met me. And so she's getting her crash course right now. And it's been a lot of fun.
I can hear that. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah.
Well, I've really enjoyed watching all the other level threes, you know, all the other interviews. It's been so fun because I don't know most of them. So I've gotten to know everybody through this. So it's awesome.
That is
fantastic.
Awesome.
And that's the goal of this is we want everybody to get to know you. And to kind of, because everybody has their story, and that's my favorite part. I want to hear your journey. I want to hear how you got here. I mean, I know a little bit of your story, but you know, we want the whole ball of wax. And because so many people, they identify with different people. And so that's mm-hmm. why we have so many different experiences within QHHT or the people's journeys and how they got here. And so someone will identify with someone. So let's that's a wonderful segue into what I want to
Very well done.
Thank you. So Candace, can you please share with us your journey and how you got into metaphysics, into QHHT, how you even found us? You know, what's this all about? And was this always your goal, was to be a level 3 practitioner?
Must have been, because here I am. Seriously.
That's a small child, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, like before we came onto the planet, I'm sure that your mom had us all sitting at her feet saying, okay, guys,
right?
We're going to do this big thing.
Yeah, I can almost see that in her head, like, thousands of us sitting there, and she's like, all right, I'm going to go in first. I'm going right. in. I'm going to do this thing. You're all coming in after? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like that, you know? It's, in my whole life, I've never, and you hear this from practitioners all the time, how I didn't feel like I belonged, you know? I was on the outside, you know, kind of a loner, all these things. Like, I didn't really understand this place at all and how people were acting. Didn't make any sense.
Right.
So from the time I was tiny, tiny, I've been attracted to UFOs and metaphysics. From the time I was so tiny, I can't even tell you. I'd go outside and spend hours just staring at the sky. Do you remember Sputnik?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You do? So I was what? I'm 70. How old am I? 60. I don't know. How old am I? I'm 68.
Get that.
84.
No, I'm 86, and then I went down to 70 something.
Which timeline then am I on?
I had to do quick math. Okay, I was born. I love it.
Oh, God.
I thought she was in the 70s, and now she's down to 68. Yeah, I want to age like that.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
I did a great reverse job. Aging.
Pardon? I'm like 76.
That's no. Called reverse aging. I'm all for it.
We're reverse aging right now.
There we go.
Yeah.
So anyway, trying to figure out how old I was, it was to say that I was 6 when I was watching Sputnik, that little Russian, for those who don't know, the Russian satellite that went around. And I was so happy because I was finally outside and my family was outside with me and we were all looking up at the sky. And I thought, maybe now something will happen. You know, and I'm only 6 years old.
Yeah.
And that's been my constant.
You're still waiting for that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I just moved. I'm in a town called Doylestown, and it's a very, very sweet town. And I lived in the borough itself for about 7 years, and I just couldn't take energetically the traffic and the people and the energy. And so I moved out into the country so that they can find me.
So there you go.
I've made it so easy for them.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've seen a lot since I've been out here.
So did you get those laser pins too, so that you can like beam the lasers up into space?
I haven't done that. Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? You said that, Tracy. They were telling me she doesn't need it. She just shines her heart light, and they see that.
Oh, geez. Well, that's what we do, right? Isn't that what it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they see.
Funny gadgets. We just do our thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably shine it in some pilot's eyes or something. The wrong thing would fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
Oh,
Good point. So this is your journey to Dolores, which is already starting off with spaceships and not knowing what time of day, year it is.
Right, exactly.
How old you are.
All of that. Yeah. So I just for as long as I can remember, I have been reading, you know, Edgar Cayce, and I read all of the Seth books in my teenage years, Ruth Montgomery, you know, just all the way through. I've been.
So you're doing this in your teenage years, which is like you're sitting in the hallway at school reading through Edgar Cayce books in high school, and what is that?
So I was sent away to school in high school, actually. So I didn't live at home for 4 years. I mean, I came home for the summer, but during the school year, I was in a dorm, and we changed roommates 3 times a year. So I was in a different living space every 3 months. I was so depressed. it was just a really, really difficult experience.
No constant.
No.
Except for Edgar Cayce and the Seth books and all of that. So I think because of growing up and living like that, they were my comfort, you know, and they fed me. They really nourished me a lot.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, no, that's interesting. That's a very different
upbringing
for them most. I mean, that's, and those, because those are those years. That makes sense that you'd have to go to something to give you some constant, some kind of stability, some kind of comfort.
Because something that felt nourishing and that I could sink my teeth into, because it I mean, even growing up, I only had one friend. We lived out in the country and I had one friend and you had to drive to that one friend's house. And it was a Mad Men friend. You know, have you watched Mad Men?
No.
You ever watched that program? Well, it's all about advertising executives on Fifth Avenue in the 1950s. And that's exactly what my father was, an advertising executive. And it was just, you know, children are supposed to be seen, but you don't really know what to do with them. And so that was me. Mm-hmm. So when they sent me away to school, it just seemed like more of the same somehow. It was a good school. There was a girls' school and a boys' school. And they separated us. You were allowed to hold hands and you could see the boys for a movie on Saturday night. Okay. It was odd, but it was patterned after the English prep schools, you know, in England.
Yeah.
Great education, you know. I've always had everything I needed in terms of food and clothing and education and opportunities and all of that. So I have to give my parents kudos for that. But I'm kind of a seeker of something else, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So
you found it. You found something else.
I did. So then I went to college and I graduated with a BS in elementary education. I was going to be a music teacher. And I knew that I wasn't going to be a music teacher when I graduated. And
okay, but you knew you weren't going to be a music teacher.
I wasn't old enough, you know. I seriously wasn't old enough. I told my father I shouldn't have been in college in my sophomore year, that I needed some time off, you know, one of those gap years, and there was nothing doing. I had to go back. So I had a number of jobs that weren't teaching. And I ended up, I was went to the University of Vermont, loved Vermont, but I ended up moving from Vermont into Manhattan and working for IBM where my dad worked. And that was such a shock to my system. Oh my gosh. And, but that's where I met my now ex-husband, was at IBM. And that's an interesting story because his mother channeled extraterrestrials.
There you go.
Had written a couple
now,
of books.
You know how to attract things, don't you?
Somehow. And so that was fascinating. That was like, oh my God, I'm home. I'm in the right place. You know, I can talk to people about this. And she was amazing. And she and her husband ran a foundation called the STAR Foundation, Space Technology and Research. And it was to bring physicists and scientists and psychics and everybody together to figure out how to be in the world with the coming changes. It was all about the changes. So she was approached by, they're called the Ogata Group, as a channel. They wanted her as a channel so that she could speak and write about the coming earth changes. Wow. Because there are a lot of them. And she would characterize it as man's inhumanity to man and nature's plan. That's how she called it.
Wow. And this was back before this was written. I mean, this would have been way ahead of when, you know, when it started becoming something, you know, like in the, my gosh. But see, a lot of people were getting things back there and then they started coming to the forefront.
Yeah. Well, this was back with Ruth Montgomery back in that time frame. So I got married in 1983. So she'd been doing this the whole time that my husband was growing up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 20 years. So, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah, right. I mean, one of those groundbreakers, one of those that are way on the cutting edge. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was nervous about it at first because, you know, of her, you know, she didn't want to be seen as crazy or whatever, but she developed, you know, like I said, she and her husband were very successful. He owned a children's clothing business. She was was president of an executive search firm. They were very grounded in the world and very accomplished, and they'd raised four children and done a beautiful job. And then this happened and it was at a complete life change, obviously. So they moved to North Carolina, to be closer to the courts in the hills, and they had a foundation, they had a conference center that could hold a lot of people for a lot of days, a lot of months.
Wow.
Should anything happen. And then that all changed and the Ogata Group pulled back, and for reasons I'm not sure about, and so she was kind of on her own after having been connected to this for so long. But it was fascinating being in that family because things would dematerialize and materialize. We'd all be sitting at dinner and all the spoons would start bending And it was okay.
This is the dinner entertainment here,
right? Where have you been hiding, Candace?
This was so fun. She's a very tall, you know, proud woman, you know, but there was one entity called Zeocher. He was a botanist in the Agata group. And he didn't speak. He just kind of walked really quickly, kind of hunched over. Well, my brother-in-law had back problems once, and Zeocher came into Greta. And so she went outside and she went to a pine tree and she ran her hands down along the pine tree and all the pine needles disappeared. And then she ran her hand along his back and his back was fine. And that happened in a matter of 30 seconds that the pine needles disappeared and he was healed. So I got my reality check in this family about what's possible, about UFOs, about ETs, about healing, about, you know, things, dematerialization, you know, think there's a lot more than what we see, mm-hmm. which I've known forever, but I finally got to see it. Right. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. A little bit.
What? Like indoctrination, you know, what an indoctrination. I mean, you just got it all and early.
Well, for me, it was couldn't have been any later. I mean, it was I've been waiting for it a long time. So it's interesting that I manifested this. Now the issue was my husband didn't want to talk about any of it.
So you're chomping.
I'm like chomping at the bit, and he's grown up with it, and he's done. He's just, you know, he's okay with it all. He just doesn't want to talk about it. So I'm still reading my books and doing my seeking and all of that. Oh my God.
Is that so, part of what made it led to him being an ex-husband?
So the ex-husband piece.
We all know, I mean, we're all practitioners and this is what we do. We probe into people's lives.
I know.
I want to know it all. Because sometimes that is, and you know, we tend to get with somebody that's kind of opposite of ourselves or in another place with ourselves. And that's many times a teaching, but sometimes it doesn't help sometimes too. It's like, you know, sometimes you might grow apart. That's why I'm just wondering.
And the growing apart piece, happened because, so in 1990, we had moved all over with IBM. In 1990, we moved here to Bucks County. And I met a woman whose husband tried to kill her. She was a friend of mine. She lived in a $500,000 house. Her husband came after her with a knife one day. Her five-year-old child distracted him long enough for her to reach safety and him to reach safety, the little boy. I was so stunned by this. It wasn't part of my upbringing or my reality at all. And the next day I went and I volunteered at the women's shelter here called the Woman's Place. And I stayed with them for 25 years. So I ran crisis groups and I taught in the schools dating violence. I worked on the newsletter. I, you know, did a lot of stuff with them. Mm-hmm. As a result of working with them, a couple of things. One, in the crisis groups, I began to realize how important spirituality was. Because the women who had a spiritual component to their lives, who realized that there was something more than them, were the ones who were able to find the strength to leave the relationships. And so that's where I guess my desire to do counseling and coaching in a spiritual way began, was there.
Wow.
Through the abuse. So I actually went back. The other thing is I went back, I decided to go to school. You know, for real this time. My BS in education was BS, really. I should not have been there. I graduated so close to the bottom of my class because I was out partying and doing all kinds of other things. But this time,
ETs, you had some priorities going on back then.
I did. I had priorities. This time when I went back, I was at the head of the class, you know, because I was doing what I wanted to do. So I went back for counseling with a concentration in trauma. I love trauma for, I don't know why. I just like trauma. luckily, because there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah.
So the people that I work with, there's a lot of trauma, a lot of grief work, a lot of sexual abuse, early childhood abuse, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I went back and I got my master's. And when I got my master's, and I'm still seeking and I'm still growing, and I became a hypnotherapist during this time, and I did some other things, and we started growing apart. You know, I wasn't what he signed on for. I was developing a voice. I was developing a sense of self. I had questions now. I wasn't willing to just do what I was told, which I grew up doing what I was told, you know. And that changed everything. And this is so interesting. If I ever were to go back and do any kind of a PhD in psychology, we did a renovation of our house and took down everything, all of the walls, all of the foundation, the roof off the house, the entire thing. And metaphorically, you know, we looked at our relationship and that happened as well. He's a wonderful man, a great father. You know, he's a good, kind person. It just was time to split.
Yeah, you were done. You were done with whatever it is you came together to do.
I couldn't be quiet anymore. I couldn't be the woman that he married. I was coming into something else. And I know I wouldn't be doing this work if I were still married to him. So again, it's, you know, I've kind of been pulled along this path, for sure. So going through the divorce was difficult. And I decided that I was going to get a past life regression. So that was in the early 2000s, I guess. So there was a woman here close by. I had a session. It was weird. I was a little red man tied to a tree. I have no idea. I don't remember anything about it, except that there was a blonde-haired 10-year-old boy who didn't speak, and he sat with me. And he has been in so many of my regressions. He's like my little guide. He's just precious. So I met him there. But I fell in love with the process. So I trained. So I this is the early 2000s. So I trained with Henry Bolduc down in Virginia. He's since passed away. And then I trained with Roger Wolger, who does deep memory process. He's a Jungian, Oxford-trained scholar. His process is so different than Dolores. So he absolutely touches the client. It's all somatic release. His inductions can be 1 minute long. He has you yell out whatever it is that you're feeling, and he touches you in a certain way, and then you go right into the regression. So it's a little more physical than I want, but very, very effective. So I had a healing when I was going to a workshop. I had frozen shoulder on both shoulders, and I'd had it for about 4 months. And I went up to the workshop. I was crucified in the regression. And then there was some healing done, and it disappeared in 12 hours. It was gone, you know.
Wow.
So before I even got to Dolores, I knew, okay, this stuff can happen. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and you already knew. I mean, so much is possible because of the things that you saw with your husband, ex-husband's. It was his grandmother or his mother?
His mother.
I mean, like you said, that was showing you what was possible. And so, and yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful foundation to have as you go into these things and definitely into QHHT. I mean, all of this whole world that we're in is, that's really what makes the whole thing is really knowing what's possible. I mean, it's like just allowing everything to be possible.
Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, you know, it's like what we do in the sessions. Anything's possible. So just be curious, and we don't know what you're going to get. So follow it, whatever it is, just follow it, you know, instead of trying to manage it and keep it where it is that we think is safe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, I found your mom in 2012 and I hadn't heard of her. So I'd been a hypnotherapist since 1995. You know, I'd done the past life regressions. I trained with these people. It seems like there's somebody else I trained with. Oh, Michael Newton, but I didn't do that till a few years ago. So I'm an LBL therapist as well. And then I found your mom. A client gave me her book, The Three Waves. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, it changed my life seriously because I had resisted being on the planet. You know, I kept looking for these other things that weren't planet-based. Right. And I whined and I complained and I felt sad and I was lonely and I was melancholy and I was, you know, all this ridiculous stuff. And then I read the book and I said, oh, crap, I'm supposed to be here. Like, I'm going to sign on for this. You know, so I stopped whining and complaining and I decided to get busy. So I read the book and I, you know, within a minute, I'd signed up for the level one. I did it in 2012, I think, with her. And I remember you sitting in the back of the room, Julia, and I remember thinking, I want to work with these people. I want to do something with this because what they're doing is so wonderful. And Dolores, the two of you were just wonderful. I loved watching the both of you together.
I loved working with her. She was, yeah, we were, we had a really good team. thing going on. We had a mother-daughter thing going on.
You really did. She turned to you. She turned to you all the time, and you managed her sometimes.
That's a nice way to put it.
You I don't know what you did. I don't know if managed isn't the right word. You've loved her completely as you guided her into, you know, into and away from things.
I would sometimes feel like this. I smoothed down the feathers that she might ruffle or.
Yeah. Oh my God. So in that first workshop, in the 2012 workshop, I had a fantastic session. As the practitioner, the woman lay down on the bed. She was in so much pain. She had to lie on her side because her back hurt so much. Her life was, she was a ball of light going out to get experiences, coming back to source, going back out. She loved a life where she knew exactly what she was doing and she was doing it well. And she got to be in the presence of source. The higher self said, we ran her into a tree in her 20s because she was headed in the wrong direction. You know, she's supposed to be working with children or something and she wasn't. And, you know, so she doesn't need it anymore because she's doing what she's supposed to. So she gets off the bed. She's doing jumping jacks and touching her toes. I have a little video of her. I can't remember her name. I don't know if there's any way to get that. I would love to get her name so that I can use that clip and to check in with her, see how she is.
Contact Jenny or Summer, and they have the records from all the classes. So maybe they can help you.
Yeah, maybe I might recognize it. That would be great. So, of course, we went running down to Dolores going, it works. You know, of course, you know, your mom's going, I know it works. Of course it works.
That's why I teach the class.
But it was really nice to have. So it was interesting because as the practitioner, I had a great session, a lot of, you know, successful. It felt really good. As the client, I was really tough. I was actually with a guy that I know from here. He's got a good reputation as a healer and a shaman. And I didn't know he was going to be in the class. And I said, oh, he's perfect. I'll get a great session with him. And it wasn't a great session. I had something going on with my hands and I really wanted the healing. So I wanted it so badly, I wasn't letting myself relax.
Yeah. You know? You're holding on to it so tight.
My God. Yeah. And seriously, how many times have I been regressed? A million, you know, through all of my trainings. But I wanted it so bad, you know. And I think at one point I said, this isn't working. And he goes, okay. And he had me sit up and so we were all done.
No!
So when I saw your mom say, lie back down, we're not done, I thought, yes, I just love that piece.
Yeah.
You know, I love being able to say that.
but you said a wonderful thing there. And I really want you to accentuate that point about the expectations and how much you really, really wanted it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It can be a hurdle for a lot of people.
Yes. I'm always telling people, set your intention, have a very clear intention of why you're here, and then let go of any expectation, because the conscious mind cannot do this. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's not possible. But I know how badly, you know, you can hear it in the phone before they come in, how badly they want the session and how much they're looking for what it is that they're looking for. And they always leave calmer and lighter, going, oh, I knew that.
I knew that. Exactly. You know, and that's what Answers does. Answers gives you peace. It gives you, because that's what we get in sessions, or answers, mm-hmm. perspective.
That we already have inside of us. So we come in with what it is that we leave with.
Yes.
Yep. it's like they think they're coming in to get something that they don't have, and it's not true.
Yeah, it's like we say, I already knew that. Yes, you did not. You had the answers inside of you. We're just getting you in touch with that part that does it. You know, but yes, you did. I mean, mom was always coming back from sessions and saying, guess what I learned today? And it was like this, it would be like some convoluted, it was probably some of the stuff that was in three waves, whatever, but it was just, she's telling me this stuff and I'm just like, it was so familiar. It sounded familiar. And I'm just, it's like something in me knew. And I'm just like, yeah. And then she goes, no, this is new. Like, but I know it from somewhere. So it's that kind of thing. Yes, we know this stuff. We just have to be reminded or whatever. You know, it's like, yes, you do know this.
Right. And I talk with them about that before they come in. I don't want to pop their bubble or any of them thing, you know, when they're coming in expecting all this stuff. But I say, I just have to tell you that you are coming in with the answers that you're going to leave with. You already have them, you know, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. I see that, but that empowers people. I mean, really, if you really got big, otherwise they're like, well, I wanted to be whatever. They want something. That's that expectation thing again. But if when as more of the people realize they have the answers, that's so empowering.
And the reason that they don't get the answers is because the conscious mind is in charge too much. And so we give the conscious mind the job. At least I do. I tell them that the conscious mind is going to work with the higher self, and it is responsible for telling me everything that you're seeing. And so then they don't, then they just use that to tell me everything that they're seeing. So I don't, I allow it to be in there and I give it something to do. Right. And then it all makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wants an assignment.
It does. You know, instead of go sit over there on the couch while we're doing this, it's like, exactly. I need you to tell me everything, you know?
You know, that's interesting because that's what mine does. And so somewhere in there, that must have been some agreement. It was like, yeah, you do. I mean, I never said, okay, this is your job or like that. It was just like, that's how I got the cooperation of the conscious mind was it just started going, it just started relaying messages. And I think it makes it feel important.
It does, because then it realizes that it's not making it up, because it wonders if it's making it up. But that's so arrogant of it. It doesn't have the power to make it up, right? So the higher self is giving it to you, and your job is to, you can't make it up. Just tell us what the higher self is saying, if you will.
Yeah, I think it figured it out. If I do this, I can stay privy to this information here. It's like, exactly. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, just organically, it kind of surrenders to the whole process and it's not an issue anymore.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You just allow it. And that's the thing. And but you know, if you're trying to control it and trying to get it to shift and trying to get it, see, that's where you're still trying to do too much. It's just in the matter of allowing it.
Yeah.
And just let it be part of it.
And it takes a little practice sometimes to do that, you know, so. So then I went to level two really fast, like in a minute. You know, I went to as quick as I could, because I'm used to doing regressions, right? So I already had clients that I could, you know, I had people, and then Mr. F shows up, right, Larry?
Yeah.
And you can't make this stuff up, and that's why I know that they were helping me tremendously. So
now Tracy doesn't know about Larry. So I don't know how much you want to give information.
Right. There. So I it was in 2012. I don't think I'd even been to level two yet. And I got a phone call. Someone had found my name on the website and she was calling for her employer, and his wife had been cured of MS through the process. She had had a session with a practitioner, and she'd also had a session with your mom. And he, for whatever the reason, was looking for a different practitioner. So she called me, I talked to him, and he started funneling people to me every single week, twice, two people a week for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I didn't have to do any marketing. I got everyone from angels to murderers. I got, seriously, I got CIA people and jailbirds. I got everything that you can possibly imagine. Every kind of illness, every kind of economic, every kind of, it was just extraordinary, the amount of practice and the amount of education and everything.
My goodness, yes.
Yeah. And I couldn't have done that. They did that, right? They did that.
Yeah.
And finally I got here. So, and by his wife, she's still clear of MS. She's doing great. It was lovely, and they're really good. I love them dearly. You know, we're like family now. So it's lovely.
Yeah, I don't know if Larry would see himself this way, but he's an angel as well.
Oh my gosh, he is such an angel. He has the biggest heart in the entire world. And he's so into all of this. So this is interesting what happened, and this is interesting for people to hear too. In his enthusiasm and his commitment to helping as many people as he would take them off the street. He would find somebody in a parking lot, and if they needed help, he would bring them in. He's just amazing. But over time, we began to realize that the people were doing it for him. They weren't doing it for themselves. They just wanted to please him. Mm-hmm. And it was people, his family, it was people that worked for him. And so they would come in and they'd have a great session, and you know, I'd go through the whole thing. They wouldn't listen to the recording. If they got some healing, they didn't believe it, so they, you know, it came back, and you know, stuff like that. Not everybody. There were some amazing things that happened, but but we noticed over time that that's not the way to do it. If people want the session, they have to be invested in it for themselves.
Yeah.
And we would spend a lot of time up front before the session. He would give them books. He would show them videos. He would, you know, we'd talk to them. We'd, you know, really, really give them a lot of information. And it still wasn't.
But it's planting seeds. And it was beginning. And it was then up to them.
Mm-hmm.
To whether to walk that path or not, or whatever they wanted to do. But it's
right.
It's a beginning.
No, and so every session had value, and they all heard what they needed to. I mean, it's all perfect, but we decided that we weren't going to force it on anybody anymore, or that, you know, there needed to be a different dynamic with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when somebody comes to him now that truly is invested in it and wants it and is ready for it, he's more than happy, you know, to support them in it. So, That was pretty amazing. And so during that, I got my level two, like a minute after level one. And then I didn't go level three till now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everything in its right time.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny about level three too, because I didn't know that there are only three people in the class. So I'm like this serial seeker. I have so many certifications in coaching. I can't even name all the stuff that I do. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always looking for something. And so level three was, okay, I'm just going to go get the next level in QHHT so I can have that. And I need to say this, that I want to apologize to you and your mom for the arrogance that I carry around looking at it in that way. Because being a level three and doing this work with the intention and the love that she shared it is so profound. It's not just another certification. It's like a big deal. It's a heart life-changing thing. And as soon as I decided to get the level three, I realized that. I started having inklings because it wasn't easy. I don't know if you remember, but I had a hell of a time trying to get my video, right?
That's right.
I don't know if you...
Well, you could write a book on that alone, right, Julie?
I could. Oh, my gosh. The number of things I tried to go through here and I ended up actually... using the video for level three that I did the very last session when I was down there for level two.
She went through level two again, and so
you wouldn't just grandfather me in. So that was another thing that I really had to choose. Like, do I want to do this? and I'm so glad that I did
level two before 2014, and they have to have done it 2014 or newer, and
right.
And so that's where. Yeah, you have to go through it. You have to do it. But that was a blessing because by doing that, it accelerated your...
Absolutely.
The whole path, the whole course.
A thousand percent. Yeah, it was the best week and a half, you know, even being with you in level three.
What?
Do you remember me saying, you know, once you'd finished critiquing everything and going over it, and I looked at you and I said, don't I do anything right? Do you remember me
saying that? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
No, and it's so funny. It's like the last several that come on and said anything. It's like, man, I sound so mean.
And you're not, there is so much love.
You know, Candace, if you want to join the support group, I'll get you.
I'm not going to get any support from Tracy. If I, you know, it's like, I've got to stand here on my own on this. It's like,
my indented tear marks are still there.
But I do it because I know your potential and I know what you can do.
Yeah, that's what she says. It's so cute.
But look at you both now.
Look at us.
That's right.
But you know what? It made me think about something and I think I mentioned this to you that it was the first time I'd gotten feedback from ever.
And all the things that you've done, all the certifications. Wow.
And I hadn't gotten any feedback on any of the sessions. All I had was, I mean, the way I learned to do it for Larry was I would listen to your mom over and over and over, the induction. I would just listen over and over and over until it was memorized and it was, you know, clear, because I did it in a room where I couldn't read the script, and I just kind of self-taught myself, you know, from the trainings, but to do that. So when I came into level two, I realized, oh, I had changed one word here, you know, and that made a difference in the rhythm of it, you know, and just little tiny things like that. And so as I was thinking back on my experience with you and what it is you were pointing out, and the fact that I had never received feedback before, is there a way that we can give the level two practitioners feedback,
you know,
on an ongoing basis or something, you know, just to, you know, so that...
Because of things like that, that, you know, that you're saying in class and stuff, and we're realizing that we've got to give more. There's got to be more of a stepping stone between level two and level three. And so we're looking at, it's just, there's so many things going on right now, but that is our next plan, is to create a level 2.5.
Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's good for a number of reasons, you know, not only in, I mean, just think of the, I don't know what you want to say. The sessions will get better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more we can do, the better. It's just, we had to get to a place where we understood what it looked like. And so I think we're having a better idea of that. And that's our next thing to create.
Okay. Oh, it's so exciting.
Well, they're in the COVID creation spell right now. So
I know.
It'll happen.
Speaking of creating, when you first put your Soul Speak online, what, a month ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I signed up for it right away. I haven't looked at it, but but I signed up for it. I haven't had a chance. My God, I'm so busy with everything going on. Oh, my Lord.
You'll get to it when it's time.
But I did sign up for it. It's like within a day of you putting it out, I said, okay, I'm so excited. I got to go get it. So
that's funny.
So congratulations.
Thank you on
getting that out. I'm excited.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that's what this whole thing was, you know, because like when we were in Miami, we had no idea what was getting ready to happen. I mean, it was just, we knew the flights. I think your flight was it yours or was it the class you were in?
Yeah. You guys were right there at the cusp of,
we were right there at the, at the cusp of it. You know, it's, I think I flew home on the 13th or the 14th and my county shut down on the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we just slid in under the wire. That was pretty remarkable, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were concerned about some of the flights, people being able to get back, you know. So.
Yeah, so my timing on wanting to get to level three was, you know, it's time for me to go do level three before COVID. So and I didn't know that only three people were in the class, and I got right in, and it's like, wow, you know, so they do this thing.
I know, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw something today. It was a really cute little, I get these daily statement, whatever you want to call them, from, you know, the, what's his name? It's Mike. Anyway, he's called some Tut. Anyway, it's Notes from the Universe. Have you heard of him? Okay. And I just can't remember his name right now. But anyway, they come in like daily. And it's like a note to you from the universe. And today it was something about, you know, don't stop trying to do the home runs. That's not your job to do this. That's my job as the universe, is to hit the home runs. Your job is to pitch it to me. Just pitch me the ball. Pitch me the idea. Pitch whatever it is. You pitch it to me, I'll hit it out of the park. And it was like, yes.
I love that. That's great. That's so great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yes, that's, remember, that's all we have to do is just, yes, can you please, Here, you can have this one. And that's what I say in QHHT too. Kick it to the SC. Give it to them. Let them handle it. You don't have to do the work.
Yeah.
Let them do it. They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just have to be clear in what it is that you want. Just be clear. And you can ask for whatever it is that you need to have happen. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know where I would be had Larry not facilitated for me with all of that. I would still be here. I would still be doing it, but that was such a gift from the universe, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that when I read Dolores's book and I stopped whining and complaining about being here with these crazy humans, and I've always called people humans for whatever the reason, something shifted.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in just real quick because we've got a bunch of people in the chat over here on the Metaphysical Hour on Facebook, on the BBS radio. We want to say hi to everybody. We've got Judy and Jesus and Amanda and Chris, Stephanie, Lenny. Let's see, we've got Madeline and Diane and John, and everybody's chatting it up. So,
are they telling us where they're from?
Not on this one. Everybody's following the story, and they're saying, you know, they're all just saying hi and
hey, everybody.
Talking. So they're actually doing really good at staying with the storyline and making comments. So super. I just want to say kudos to all of you guys for. I am watching those, and
let me ask them a question. Is anybody relating to Candace's story? Anybody else have similar situation?
Hello from Dallas now. Now you prompted that. Okay. So there we go.
I want to know where they're from. I love to see where everybody comes from.
We got Andy, Amy, Rosalyn. Now that I'm hollering out names, we're going to get a bunch of them. Jonathan. Everybody's saying where they're from.
Super.
Awesome. We got people from everywhere. A lot of Australia groups watching tonight. So hi.
Hello, guys.
Very fun. Yeah. So now you're gonna have to go in there and say hi to everybody because we're getting all kinds of good locations out there.
That's so fun.
Thank you everybody for popping in and supporting and listening to this our stories and to Candace's story. It's a fascinating story.
Yes.
It's not over.
It's not over.
So the intermission is over. We're going to get back to Candace. Thank you everyone in the chat, and it's good to see you there. Okay, I'm done.
That was lovely.
I just like to let you know that you're going to have to go back to this chat and just say hi to everybody is what's happening. So
I don't know how to do that.
Oh. Are you on Facebook?
I am. I can talk to you offline about that. It's funny having worked at IBM for 8 years. I'm like so out of touch. My children, I have a blast with me. It's like mom, really.
Yeah. The eye rolls and the. Yeah.
But I'm good at sitting with people and doing QHHT, right? You know, so all this other stuff.
That's what matters.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep rolling this story.
What happened next?
Yeah.
What happened? What did happen next? I don't know. That's we're kind of at level three. We're here now. In 2017, I got LBL trained with Michael Newton because I can't stop training. I can't stop.
Stop. Yeah.
And so it's really interesting as I look at the process of the past life regressions, you know, from very traditional when I first learned to Rogers, the induction takes a minute. Michael Newton's induction takes 45 minutes. You know, it's crazy. I love Dolores. Dolores just nailed it. She just nailed it.
Well, she was studying all these different people, and then she had people doing different things with her, and she's like, I don't like that one. I like this one. And she was taking what she liked from different ones and created her own.
Brilliant. So I don't know if you found this, if the other practitioners are finding this, but, you know, people come in, and 9 times out of 10, they want a past life. So they call me up because they want to have a past life regression. And I have to tell them that they might not get a past life regression, you know. But that's, you know, and I explain that when Dolores first started doing it, that's all that, you know, that's all that happened. But things are changing right now. Mm-hmm. So it's like even that conversation opens them up a little bit to that there's more.
Yeah.
And go ahead and say some of that, because this is wonderful. We may not just have practitioners watching. We have others that want to be clients or have been clients, and maybe they don't understand maybe some of the things that happened within their session. And anything that we can do to help educate people is wonderful. So what are some of the things? Where could they possibly go? What are some of the things?
Well, like that first one that I did, she was a ball of light, right? It was perfect. People can go into current life memory and do some work there. And because I'm a therapist, I'm really comfortable in that. So maybe I get more of those than other people would. I don't know. I love it when people are at a woman who is a tree And she described from being a sapling to an ancient tree, what it felt like to be connected and to grow and to trust and hold spiders in her branches. And I mean, it was just that little phrase, you know, touched my heart so much, you know. And then last week I had a woman who was a lake or an ocean on a water planet. And there wasn't any sun. There was no light. And all the light came from the little creatures themselves. That's the only light on the planet. And she described what it felt like to have them move through her. And I asked a question. I said, so what, do they eat each other, the little creatures? Does that feel different than them just swimming? And she goes, no, it's just different. You know, nothing. It was just fascinating. So you could be that. I had a woman who was lava, and she described what that felt like, the journey of being lava from being so hot.
What was that like? I mean, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, it was very hot. Short.
It's real hot.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Yeah. It's a hot story.
It's a hot mama.
Well, being pushed, you know, you were absolutely being pushed and fast, and it was hot. And then you cooled down and you stopped.
And you were done. So was that for life? I mean, was that the end of the life when it cooled off? Was that it then?
Yeah, that was it. So it was a very brief thing, but it was really interesting for her to describe that, you know. And I can't remember so much of my sessions. People that I had last week, oh my gosh, just trying. Yeah. So I can't remember exactly what that meant in her life, but but so you can be anything. You can be aliens, whatever it is. This is interesting too, and I try to educate my clients. And it's like the higher self, the SC is going to give you something like a Walmart greeter. You know, so I had a man, and he said he wasn't seeing anything at all. And he for 10 minutes, it felt like 100 minutes, he wasn't seeing anything. And he finally said, well, I know I'm making this up, which is why I'm not telling you about it, but I'm seeing the Ever Ready Bunny, you know, the little bunny that you hit the drum. Yeah. This big burly cop, you know. And I said, oh, thank goodness, follow the bunny. And so he followed the bunny, and it led him into an experience. So for whatever the reason, that was his like Walmart greeter. That was the thing that he was familiar with that was going to allow him to move into the thing. So it's really important that the client not try to censor whatever it is because they think they're making it up. Again, the job is to tell us everything,
exactly.
You know. I had and this is something else that I have a lot of people who are not on the cloud anymore. They go straight into the experience. And what happens is I ask them after we've explored the beautiful place, I ask them, do you notice anything else? And 9 times out of 10, they do. They notice something else. And they're interested in exploring that.
Yeah.
And so we just go right in.
Yeah.
I had a woman, she noticed a dolphin. She hadn't noticed it before. And she said, I feel like the dolphin wants me to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
She did. She followed it. And she came up sputtering as a 4-year-old drowning after a shipwreck.
Oh,
you know,
it
was pretty intense, like boom. Wow. I had another guy, his beautiful place was in Amsterdam. And there was a woman on a bridge that he noticed after everything else. And I said, do you notice anything else? And he said, oh, yeah, there's this girl in a red dress. And he said, I think I'm going to go follow her. And it's always about following something. And so he followed her into an alley, and then she lifted off into the universe, and he followed her up, and he had a whole space thing going. So you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. You can't.
Not at all.
Before we run out of time, I mean, I have something else I want to do. What about healings? What kind of healings are happening?
A lot of the usual, and I say the usual healings, they're not usual for the people. They're very excited about them.
Right.
You know, but, you know.
Just the usual things of, you know, like you said, the first one, the back pain.
It's just, you know, chronic back pain and headaches and, you know, all of that. What's interesting, I had a woman who came in, and I can't remember exactly what was going on, but she came in with a cane, and it was very difficult for her to walk. And when she left, she was like swinging the cane, you know, and she looked down and she goes, oh my God, I'm not using it. And then I got a call from her 3 days later and she goes, I can't walk again. And so it didn't work. And I said, of course it worked. You did this before. You can do this again. Like, listen to the recording. Would you just listen to the recording? And then she called back and you know, and it was sticking. So,
I know it didn't stick.
It didn't stick.
And I think that would be good to help people understand what's going on when that happens. You know, yeah. You as a client, you have a huge responsibility to do whatever it is the SC tells you to do. Mm-hmm. It's shown you things. You've seen experience. You've seen what the connection is to whatever is going on. And it's telling you to do certain things, and that will keep whatever's been healed, or the healing, it will keep it happening, you know, because you have to change whatever it was that caused it in the first place, thought patterns.
Right. And the initial healing happened from within them. It wasn't me or anything else. I mean, they did the healing to begin with. So if they did it once, they can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just a matter of staying with it. And that's why we tell you to listen to that recording, because that puts you back into that state of mind that you were there, and help you to, you know, it gets you right back into that place.
Yeah.
Until you can figure out how to help keep yourself there, you're on your own. That's what the recording does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. I've also found, so I don't know if anybody's found this, but I've found that, and it was kind of by accident, and now I'm kind of embracing it in every session, is having other people's energy in our bodies, you know, so that if you've been violated, if you've been, you know, with abuse or whatever it is, or if in the womb, like for instance, when I was born, my mother's mother died a month before I was born. And so I've been carrying her grief for a really, really long time. So I asked the SC now, is there anywhere in the body that this person is carrying someone else's emotion or someone else's energy? Where in the body is that happening, and what can you do about it? And almost without fail, it shows up every single time now that I'm asking that question.
Interesting.
Yeah. So... yeah, because we don't want to be carrying around other people's stuff.
No.
And as a child, we take on other people's stuff. We're responsible for mom or dad being angry or leaving us or whatever it is. We take that on, and we don't need to hold on to that.
Yeah, and energetically, there's things going around all the time. And as you keep developing and growing, you start feeling other people's stuff and not even understanding what it is, that it is others. It's not our own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that kind of happened by accident. I think one of my clients just said, the higher self said, you know, this is in there. And then I thought, let me find out how many other people it's in there. And it's everybody.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, and we've had, you know, amazing healings like the MS and one woman, her cancer, she just knew it. And she had a dream of Padre Pio. Padre Pio came to her during the regression. And she listened to him, and she says the healing was because of him. And if that's what it is, then that's what it is. But she completely healed. The breast cancer went away. All better. You know, so, yeah. When the client is ready, you know, the healing will happen. And so a lot of people who come in, they've been thinking about it for a year. You know, they've been following Dolores. They've been really gearing themselves up. So that's good and bad, in that they have such a big expectation and they, you know, they're really on it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But I think that will be really helpful if people understand their part in the whole thing. It's not something that's being done to them.
No.
It's done through them, and they are a huge factor in there, and your belief systems are huge in here. If you come out of it, because that's why you're shown these things, so that you get it. And if you come out going, I just made the whole thing up, which that's natural. Every single one of us do that. That's the conscious mind that comes back in and goes, no, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But that's where you talk to the conscious mind, go, wait a minute. And that's another reason why you keep listening to that recording, is because she's like, you know, something happened, you know, and something is different. And you know how you felt during that session. And this is where you are responsible for you. You are responsible for taking yourself to that next step. Like, no practitioner is ever going to do it for you. They are facilitating so you get your stuff through you.
But so many people go to practitioners who do it for them, who read for them, who do, you know, psychic stuff, who do whatever they do.
That's not QHHT.
And it's not QHHT. And so the people that come in, it's a very special group of people that come in, that they are either ready to do it or they're on the edge of being ready. And this is a step that they need to take in order to take personal responsibility, you know, as every human being needs to do on the planet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So this is big, important work, and I love being a part of it. And I love you, Julia. And I'm sure I love you too, Tracy.
If I haven't ruined that by the end of this, yeah. I love you, Candace. Thank you for coming. Being such a good sport and putting up with my feisty behavior.
It's perfect. Is there going to be a reunion? Do we get together at all, ever?
Yeah, ever. Ever? Really? Ever? Yeah, we're looking at now. We feel like we're thinking about next summer to start doing up some things. So we feel like that will be safe. Like maybe that's, we just haven't put anything on paper yet. We're kind of starting to feel out maybe some venues, some areas. But yes, we will. It'll be reunion. You know, that's what we all need.
Yeah, it's lovely. And are you going to do level two live again, or are you going to stay? Are these questions I can be asking here?
You know what? You're asking all the questions I was going to ask after we were ready to wrap up. So go for it.
Right.
Yeah,
backroom questions.
It depends. It depends on what's going on. Right now, this online is, we have it we've duplicated the live class in every possible way, and the whole live feeling is there and everything. And it's like, you know, in the way that the students are going through it, they're able to, like, between our live sessions, they have so many videos to watch, and they are able to go back and review that. And even after it's all done, they can still go back and keep reviewing, which the live class never has that opportunity.
No. So that's great.
It is great. And so I feel like they're coming out much stronger. You know,
so COVID is helping QHHT. You know, we can't do the sessions online, but the practitioners are getting better trained. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, wow. No, they're coming out really strong. You feel that confidence level. It's really, really strong. So it's like, you know, maybe this is the way to do this. I mean, we need to definitely have things where we get together, and so that maybe that's the reunions. We may do more classes. I don't know. Our time of trying to plan anything is,
it's all on hold.
I mean, it's so funny because we had everything planned out for a year, and it was like everything just squashed.
You put level two together really fast then. I mean, unless you had it in the works beforehand.
We had it in the works. We'd been working on it for several years, and it was just finally, it was like, you have to get this done now. And so it was crunch.
A little bit of a push.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me this time.
No, it wasn't. I bet you were behind the scenes.
Somewhere. Yeah, somebody's blamed me today for COVID, so whatever.
Jeez.
It wasn't me, I promise.
No, oh my goodness. Well, Candace, how can people find you if they want to have a session?
So my website is spiritedlifecoaching.com.
Spirited, so past
spiritedlifecoaching.com.
Okay.
And they can find me, of course, on the QHHT website. Mm-hmm. And my email is candace@spiritedlifecoaching.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice and simple.
Okay, Julia.
It's life coaching because I'm also a life coach. So I do this part-time, and then, although more than part-time now, and and then the coaching with my other free minutes.
You squeeze it all in there somehow.
Oh my God, it's gotten so busy, amazingly.
Hasn't it? Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I want March and April back again. just for a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of reprieve. Mm-hmm. All right, Julia, how do people find a practitioner, or if they want to become a practitioner, how does that happen?
Either one of those, just go to the official QHHT site, which is QHHTofficial.com. And just go there. There'll be links actually on the front page where you can find out, you know, how to get to courses, and then also how to find a practitioner, or you on the menu bar. There's one that says find a practitioner. That's how you can find someone that's in your area, you know, or whatever, wherever you're willing to go, and just look and see who resonates with you.
And what about this?
What about that
little thing here? Soul Speak book by Julia Cannon. How would they get a hold of this or take the class if they would like
to? If you want the book, you go to the publishing company. That's ozarkmt.com. If you want the course, I just created this course that we were talking about earlier. I mean, this COVID, I mean, it did. We created level two, and I created this course during this. And it was like major, because that course, again, several years, I'd been toying with it and playing with it. And then finally they're like, do it now. Yeah. It
was, we're going to create a pandemic so you can do this.
They did. Like, yeah.
10 million Tracys.
Yeah.
That was the crazy.
With me times 10 million. I love it.
And so anyway, just go to juliacannon.com to go check out the information on that course. And like I said, Candace has signed up for it, so she'll be in the class with you someday. And then and Tracy has taken the course. Actually, Tracy's in the course.
I am in the course. My kidneys make a debut.
Yes, Tracy just unconsciously, maybe, agreed to be the poster child for some of the situations. So we were able to actually work through them on the course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's funny how things happen.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, other things. I interviewed a bunch of level threes, level three practitioners, about cases that they had, you know, over the healings and what it was meaning, what the SC said it meant. So that way we're getting another example of how these messages are happening. And then, so I was doing that with Tracy, and then she's like, well, do you want to talk about something that's actually going on right now? So I'm like, well, sure, let's just do it. So we work on through it. And and how's that shoulder now?
Doing good. It's doing good. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm a believer. You don't have to convince me of anything.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So anyway, the people are all the time asking, what's the difference between the book and the course? The book gives you all this information. It's kind of opening your eyes to the understanding of that there actually is something to aches and pains and illnesses and diseases. And which is wonderful, because it's like an extension. You know, Louise Hay was like a groundbreaker back in, was it 70s, 80s that she came out with that? And that was whole new thought. I mean, it was totally new thought back then. And so then that was wonderful. That was opening our minds. And so then now this, the book was like, okay, let's go the next step. And it was, that's kind of what it's doing. It's like taking the next step. And so I really want to give her kudos, because she was fantastic. And I stand on the shoulder of several giants here, you know, in the work that I do. So anyway, so there's that. And then the course, what they wanted me to do that is allowing people to get even more information, get more in depth, the bigger understanding. It really solidifies it. And this will allow you to be certified to help other people. And also we have, after the course, after you graduate, we have Zoom meetings, group get-togethers, so that we can keep talking about it, help you get it even more solidified. And if you are still having issues, like with yourself, we'll work through it. You know, so we get one-on-one work. Well, it's in group one-on-one.
Did you look at me when she said that, Candace?
Yes,
did you?
I don't know. I was hoping she was looking at me.
Anyway, I'm doing my best to help people in the best way I can. And that's, it's so much fun just working with people from all over the world and everything that we do. I mean, we have the best jobs.
We really do.
Absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's easy to wake up in the morning when you do what we do. So,
yeah. Absolutely. So if any of this resonates with you, then go to the sites. I mean, you know, just see what you want to do. And Candace, if anybody would like a session with both Candace or Tracy, they're both practitioners, they're both level threes. I'm not, duke it out, guys. No.
Let's just,
we're on opposite sides of the country, aren't we? Where are you, Tracy?
I'm in Oregon. I'm in the midst of the fires.
Oh, you're in all the fires and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hot.
Are you safe?
I'm going to tell you what it's like to be lava in a little bit. where I'm at is pretty safe, I think. But yeah, the fires are pretty much all around and not actually too far off from where I'm at. So we're really hoping for that rain to come in. But I'm going to make this really easy. Find your practitioner at qhhtofficial.com. Both Candace and I are there. We would love to help you. If you want to come see us, you can find your information there. And yeah, make that happen. So
absolutely.
Perfect. Thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Candace, for being here. It's been
fantastic. Thank you for inviting me. It's so lovely to be with you. What a great night.
It's been fun, ladies. Yes. Thank you again, Julia, for the platform and always having me on board.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I love it. You know I love it. I love you. Beautiful. Right. Anyway, goodbye, everybody. Good night. Bye, and we'll everyone. See you in a couple weeks, I think. It's not next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry.
That's crazy, you know? Anyway, in a couple of weeks, we'll be back. We love you.
Okay. Love you. Stay safe. Bye. Bye.